Ernest J. Whiting. Autobiography. I, Ernest J. Whiting, was born on February 16, 1889, in Mapleton, Utah County, Utah, to Edwin Marion Whiting and Anna Mariah Isaacson. I was the fourth child in this family of nine. One of the first things I remember was Pa's sawmill up in Dry Canyon, a little northeast of Mapleton. He would let me sit on a pile of lumber and watch him saw, and Uncle John did the rest. It seemed like a big thing at that time, but now one side of our kebab sawmill in Fredonia will cut as much in a shift as they cut in a whole year. It was at this mill that Joe Curtis let me drive an ox team pulling a log. He let me use his bull whip. I think I whipped the back of my neck more than the ox, but felt too big to cry. As soon as I was 8 years old, they let me help with the boilers. I could start the water pump and do some of the firing. When I was 4 or 5 years old, while we were living in Mapleton, I had typhoid fever very bad. I can remember to this day how bad my back ached and how sick I was. I remember how thirsty I was, but would not drink any water except from a certain ditch. My grandma Whiting walked about a half a mile to the ditch and back to get me that water. When she got back and gave it to me, I took one swallow and told her it was rotten just like all the other water. As a young kid in Mapleton, the other kids teased me so much about my red hair and freckles, they called me Rusty Frying Pan, Rusty, or pretend to warm their hands over my hair. I had so many freckles the kids used to ask me if that was brain all over my face. In general, sometimes the kids made me pretty miserable at school. I will always remember the 4th of July. The band would play and the cannon would wake us up real early, and away we would go to the parade. What a thrill! I was baptized in the summer after I was 8. Sometime before the 4th of July, I was riding home on an old flatbed wagon. In one of the planks was a 60-penny nail. I dropped something off the wagon and started to jump off and get it, but got hung up on the nail. It went clear through my thigh. I was caught so that I had to hang there until they could stop the wagon and lift me off. I still have a big scar on my leg from it. It was around 1898 that we had a little store in the front of our house. The front door had a bell on it, which rang whenever someone came in, and then one of us would go and wait on them. A couple of years later, Eddie and I used to haul produce to Schofield, Grand Junction, or Thistle, sell it and bring the money home. One trip we felt we had quite a lot of money, and were worried about robbers, so that night we buried the money, and made our beds over it. The next morning, we left early and were some miles down the road, when we remembered the money. Eddie unhitched old C, and was so excited that the speed they went would have put Seba Biscuit to shame. He returned soon with the money and we went on home, a very thankful pair of boys. Pa had typhoid when I was about 10 years old. Our irrigation water turn came at 2 in the morning. Pa told Ma to have me do it. Pa said he can do it, it is our sugar beet patch and we have to have it. Pa was so sick and all he wanted to eat was a trout. It was the time of year that was almost impossible to make a trout bite. Eddie and I fished most of the day, but no success. On our way home we passed an irrigation headgate where it was kind of deep. In disgust I jabbed my fork down into it. And when I brought it out, there was a trout speared through. So Pa got the trout he longed for. Pa was sick nearly 6 months before he got completely well. I well remember when we moved to Arizona, it was a lark to me. Ma felt so bad that I cried with the rest, but Pa wanted to go so bad, we went. As I travel over Highway 89, I oft-times look at the spots where we camped along our way to Arizona with mixed emotions, thinking of the fun we kids had, but also the treacherous digways and roads we traveled. I was only 12 years old but drove one wagon part of the way. It took us about a month to make the trip. I was in the 6th grade when we came to St. John's. I never was too good in school, but I got through the 8th grade. We bought a farm down at the Meadows, 6 miles northwest of St. John's along the Little Colorado River, and we farmed this for several years, living there only in the summers. Farming among the sunflowers and salt grass, we grew some very good barley crops. After the reservoir broke and washed us out, Then a little later washed out again, we gave up down there. When Bob bought out he is not busy Davis's blacksmith shop there were several parts of old guns laying around. The best one was a .22 rifle with a bullet lodged in the barrel. Ralph, Lynn and I decided to fix and clean it so I was driving a ramrod through it with a hammer. Lynn was looking up through the barrel that we had secured in a vise and he began to holler, "It's a coming, it's a coming." About then I missed, and the hammer flew out of my hand and floored Lynn. Ralph and I started to the house carrying Lynn, when Ralph noticed the blood and he fainted away cold. Lynn forgot his troubles, and had to help me pack Ralph. We later finished cleaning the gun and we used it for years to hunt rabbits with. During my dating years I always made it a point during the dances, to dance at least once with each of the wallflowers. Those days about every fourth dance was a lady's choice, and because I had danced with them I never had to sit out a lady's choice and it made those girls think pretty well of me too. It never hurts anyone to pay a little special attention to those less popular than the others. The fall, before I turned 18 I went up to Logan, Utah. It was then kind of a combination high school and college. I stayed there just 1 year. About the middle of the year my roommate had diphtheria and we were in quarantine for about 3 weeks and this really messed up my schooling. One of the subjects I was especially good in was mathematics but English was my downfall. I took a course in blacksmithing, which has helped me all through my life. While at Logan I learned to roller skate and got to be quite a good speed skater. They sometimes held speed races and you had to be a pretty good skater to enter. I entered one of their speed races and I really got going fast, when some old clobberhead in front of me fell down and I tripped over him, and flew about 30 feet through the air, and tore up my pants, legs and knees. That ended my skating career. I was called on a mission, when I was 19 years old. I was set apart for my mission by Apostle Heber J. Grant in December, 1909. I spent 2 wonderful years in an area that just fit me. I was called to the Eastern States Mission, but spent most of my mission in West Virginia. Two of the families I labored among, the Quonleys and McCrays, moved west to St. John's and I still see some of them often. I was released from my mission in time, to spend Christmas of 1911 at home. When I got home most of my crowd had married and some had left town, so for a while I just didn't fit anywhere. I have been back to my mission field area 4 times. And would like to go back again, as there are some of those dear folks that are still living. In the spring of 1912, I went to work with Pa at the sawmill. I eventually bought in with Pa and May's husband, Herbert Berry. The first mill site was south of Sierra Trigo about 3 miles north of the old homestead. After 2 years I bought Herbert out. Pa and Ma stayed about 2 years longer than I bought out Pa. In the meantime I had met Beryl Johnson, the petite, brown-eyed daughter of Charlie Setta and William Derby Johnson. I met her in December and we were married the following September 30, 1913, in El Paso, Texas. We went on to Salt Lake City, to be sealed in the temple. This was our honeymoon. We moved to the sawmill, and stayed until the snow got too deep, then we moved into St. John's, to return, as soon as the roads were passable again in the spring. We had a wonderful life there at the sawmill and made our start in life. Beryl did her share of work by cooking for the mill hands all the years we had the sawmill. Many is the meal she cooked with a baby on her hip. The thing that made our house different from all the others was that Beryl always put curtains up to the windows and cut out magazine pictures and hung them on the walls. I was always trying to get going with a larger operation but we had to haul the lumber by team and wagon. And all the market we had was St. John's, Concho and a few ranchers. We moved to Holbrook in late 1926, to run a garage and the Ford agency. This was the first venture of expansion for Whiting Brothers and our business did well. We lived in Holbrook until after my appendix and gallbladder operation. I would not do any hard work for several years. At about this time Nita was real sick. And the doctors told us to take her to a lower climate to help her heart. So we moved to Los Angeles in the summer of 1933. We lived in the area for about 7 years. We had very little money, but we were able to buy an old two-story house for $600 and fix us up a real home. We made many lasting friendships. Our whole family remembers those years as some of the happiest times in our lives, although we had very few luxuries, but with Beryl's sewing abilities we were always able to keep our children well-dressed. In the summer of 1940 we moved back to Holbrook and I went back into the Ford agency to work, and we went on to building more service stations up and down Highway 66. It was in 1951 that Beryl took very sick and we went out to Los Angeles. I put her into the hospital and they were going to operate. I was staying at Minnie's when I had a severe attack of gallstones and was rushed to the hospital, so it ended up that we were both in the hospital at the same time and both were operated on. Beryl's health was never good after this. In our marriage we were blessed with 5 children. Beulah, Ernest J. Jr., Nita and Beth were all born in St. John's, Arizona. Edwina Mary was born in Provo, Utah, as Beryl's health was so that she needed special medical attention. All of our children grew to maturity and married fine companions in the temple. We have lived in several homes here in Holbrook in the last 28 years. 4 years ago the doctors suggested a lower climate for Beryl, hoping it would improve her health, so we bought a home in Mesa. I kept the home in Holbrook and commuted back and forth to keep active in our business and still be a companion to Beryl. During these 4 years Beryl was never really well, but she would come up to Holbrook and spend a few weeks at a time, hoping to be able to come home again to live. After her last serious illness she died in Mesa on April 10, 1967 and was buried in Holbrook. I am thankful I am able to be active and needed in the business that Art and I still run as Whiting Brothers of Holbrook. Art and I have had a wonderful partnership and family relationship that very few brothers have ever had. Our sons Jay and Milton are in business together in the Kbab Lumber Company and seem to be able to have the same closeness as Art and I have always had. My 3 brothers and I maintained a partnership for many years with less misunderstandings and bickerings than any I have known. Paul asked us boys on his deathbed to be close to each other always and work together. After Beryl's death, I was very lonely and a great void filled my life. But the Lord was mindful of my loss and loneliness and blessed me with another companion, Zina Brown Dastrup. Our courtship and marriage has been full of the unexpected, characteristic of me throughout my life. A long remembered day will be December 30, 1967, as we went to be married in the LA Temple. All our children and their mates were present, only to find there had been a mix-up in our recommends. But, all ended well, with a wedding luncheon at Felipe's. We are now living in Holbrook, and still keep a home in Mesa. At this time, August 1968, I have 5 children, 23 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. To date all my children and grandchildren have been married in the temple. I am very proud of them all.